Welcome to New World Newts, edited by Kenneth Doust. This week, late in his life, comedian George Carlin reflects on America, on bull, and on why a change is probably not a gonna come. At least, not a change for the better. We'll hear some Carlin routines, an interview, and a very Carlin-like song by David Rovix. I hope you'll stay tuned. 2 weeks ago, an article in our local newspaper just begged to be clipped and saved. The headline reads, "Two Men Charged in Fight at Comedy Club." The May 4th brawl at the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Manchester led to criminal charges of assault, breach of peace, and interfering with an officer. Further proof that comedy is not funny. Proof presented just in time for George Carlin's birthday, which was May 12th, originally in the year 1937. Actually, Carlin thought that comedy should be funny. He began his career as a stand-up comedian in the 1960s. He was funny from then to his dying day, which was 5 years ago, on June 22, 2008. In his early years, he was just another clever stand-up comic, amusing and eminently forgettable. But in the 1970s and onwards, he began making jokes in order to make serious, hard-hitting social and cultural criticism, and hard-hitting political criticism of American militarism, imperialism, and the plunder of unrestrained corporate capitalism running amok. I love his scathing satire from the 1990s, say his spot-on denunciation of George Herbert Walker Bush and his Gulf War I. Carlin described this war as a big male genital-waving contest. Well, that wasn't the exact phrase he used, but that was the gist of it. In 2008, Carlin was an old man, only 71, but with heart disease. He knew he would soon die, and he refused to BS about it. Least of all, BS himself. By then, his comedy had become less angry, more resigned. He still believed that America was rapidly going to hell in a handbasket, and was determined to take the rest of the world down with it. Deep down inside, a satirist feels that he might be able to reform human vice and folly if he denounces it well enough. That wish never goes away. But in his last years, Carlin came to believe that adequate change will never happen. As America marches off to hell, the best you can do is pull up a chair and enjoy watching the parade go by. George Carlin died in June 2008, just as the global capitalist financial system began to collapse. In a way, I'm sorry Carlin missed it. It would have showed him he was right. But I think being proved right was not what he wanted. I think what he really wanted was hope. He had rejected all organized religion as a child and never went back. So no hope was available from that supplier. And he didn't find much of it in the secular world either. Carlin was lucky in one way. He died before he saw a slick politician turn hope into an empty campaign slogan. A politician who promised hope and then delivered despair. Carlin was dying anyway, but that would have killed him. Yearning for hope and not finding it. Can you relate to that? I sure can. Well, enough prologue. Let's hear some comedy, if that's the right word for it. Here's George Carlin in his last year, 2008, talking about America, talking about BS, and talking about why the two together make such a bad combination.
Tell the truth, don't be bullshit. People, like I say, there's enough bullshit as it is. There's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit to hold things together in this country. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, your vote counts. Business is honest, the good guys win, the police are on your side, God is watching you, your standard of living will never decline, and everything is gonna be just fine. The official national bullshit story. I call it the American okey-doke. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of thing. Pounded into the heads of kids because they know the children are much too young to be able to muster an intellectual defense against a sophisticated idea like that. And they know that up to a certain age, children believe everything their parents tell them. And as a result, they never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions anything. Everybody's too fat and happy. Everybody's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes and rub their way too prosperous for our own good. Way too prosperous. Americans have been bought off and silenced by toys and gizmos, and no one learns to question things. You remember Barbara Bush? I call her the silver douchebag. You remember her? Barbara Bush. She is the mother of Governor George Bush. I call him Governor Bush because that's the only elected office he ever held legally in our country, okay? George Bush, Governor Bush. Yeah. I don't care where they hang his portrait. I don't care how big his library is. He'll always be Governor Bush. I don't even capitalize his name when I type it anymore. So she's the mother of Governor George Bush. She's also the wife of his father, George H.W. Bush, who did become president in the normal, legal, traditional manner. And when he did, she came along for the ride as first lady. And that's been the tradition up till now. A man has been elected, and the woman has come along for the ride as the first lady. And usually, as in American life in general, the woman is condescended to, patronized, given something to do to keep her busy. A lot of times they give her a charity or a cause, something she can champion. Betty Ford was told to drink. Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, that was Betty Ford's assignment. Betty, you get drunk and get totally fallen down face drunk, okay? You just get drunk and we'll hose you down, baby. We'll hose you down. We'll put you in a facility. You'll get sober and then we'll put your name in the facility. Liza Minnelli can get sober and everything's going to be okay, right? That was her assignment. Barbara Bush's assignment was getting children to read. Remember that? Getting children to read. They figured she had had so much success with George. That she would be a natural to get children to read, which misses the point completely. Not important to get children to read. Children who want to read are going to read. Kids who want to learn to read are going to learn to read. Much more important to teach children to question what they read. Children should be taught to question everything. To question everything they read, everything they hear. Children should be taught to question authority. Parents never teach their children to question authority because parents are authority figures themselves and they don't want to undermine their own bullshit inside the household. So they stroke the kid and the kid strokes them and they all stroke each other and they all grow up all f***ed up and they come to shows like this. Kids have to be warned that there's bullshit coming down the road. That's the biggest thing you can do for a kid. Tell them what life in this country is about. It's about a whole lot of bullshit that needs to be detected and avoided. That's the best thing you can do. No one told me. No one told me a thing like that. I was never warned about any of this. Had to find all of it out for myself. And there are still, as with you probably, a lot of things that you're expected to believe and accept in America that I personally have a problem with, and I question a lot of these things. Now, here's another slogan. Here's another slogan you run into all the time. God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the f*** does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech, as if it were some sort of verbal tick that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying f*** about America, okay? He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Transylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen, hey, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think that God is sitting around picking out his favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? And why would it be America out of all the countries? Because we have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic rice-a-roni. It's delusional thinking. It's delusional thinking. And Americans are not alone with these sort of delusions. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed, dead soldiers who were convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's going to be disappointed. Somebody's wasting their time. Could it be everyone? Now. If people want to say God bless America, that's their business. I don't care. But here's what I don't understand. If they say God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and he loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have got up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done. And that's what these people should do. Or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own. Which is a little bit closer to the truth.
But I was thinking, when they're always blessing America, which aspects exactly? Like just anything, or is it just, or is it, are we blessing certain things? I thought I'd just be more sort of ecumenical about what we're blessing here. God bless all the Indians living in their reservations. God bless all the strippers and their bodily gyrations. God bless Trump Towers reaching up so high. God bless the blue angels screaming through the sky. God bless Appalachia, mountains and moonshine. God bless the creeks, bulldozers and strip mines. God bless the mega churches and all those who speak in tongues. God bless the corporate ladder, every single rung. God bless the homeless families living under bridges. God bless the golden valleys and the mountain ridges. God bless the beaches and the swamps and the alligators. God bless the NFL and the Oakland Raiders. God bless the USA. God bless the conspiracy theorists and the Jewish bankers. God bless ExxonMobil and all their oil tankers. God bless Clear Channel, Toby Keith and Taylor Swift. God bless anorexia, liposuction and facelifts. God bless the mighty rivers and the nuclear reactors. God bless Fox, Rupert Murdoch and X Factor. God bless the USA. Thank you. bless all the lobbyists and their envelopes of cash. God bless Miley Cyrus and her birthday bash. God bless the president and his very moving speeches. God bless Idaho's potatoes and Georgia's peaches. God bless Florida oranges and Wisconsin cheese. God bless the internment camps and penitentiaries. God bless the USA. God bless Wyoming's rolling fields of hay. God bless high school massacres and the NRA. God bless each member of the Congress and all the oil billionaires. God bless sodium thiopental and electric chairs. God bless the open highways and the traffic jams. God bless the Patriot missiles and in boxes full of spam. God bless the USA. God bless the redwood forests and the paper mills. God bless the plastic Jesuses sitting on the windowsills. God bless carpet bombing and men in uniform. God bless the firefighters, the cops and Desert Storm. God bless the immigrants and the ICE. God bless the offshore oil rigs from sea to shining sea. God bless the U.S.
That was David Rovics, recorded live in Boston this past January. George Carlin's take on God Bless America just demanded another. There's no replacement for George Carlin on hand, but a couple of satirist folk singers are in the same ballpark. David Rovics, whom we just heard, shares Carlin's dark and complex views of politics and society. But he often lacks Carlin's comic humor. Roy Zimmerman has the comic humor, but he lacks Carlin's dark, tragic awareness. Especially Carlin's dark awareness that mainstream politics accomplishes nothing good. In fairness to Rovics and Zimmerman, George Carlin lacks the ability to sing and play the guitar well. So, as they say at the end of Some Like It Hot, nobody's perfect. But let's hear more from George Carlin. This is from an interview he gave in late 2007. Here, he reflects on why he gave up on his fellow humans, and on how Americans squandered every benefit they had on both empty religion and on mindless materialism. And he recognizes that inside every cynic is a disappointed idealist. Here's George Carlin.
I gave up on my species, and I gave up on my fellow Americans. I gave up on my countrymen. Because I think we squandered great gifts. I think humans were given great, great gifts. Walking upright, binocular vision, opposable thumb, large brain, making tools. Make tools, large brain, make better tools. Talk, have to link language. You take this, put in here. We learned language, the brain got bigger, language. We grew, we had great gifts, and we gave it up all up for both man, for both money and God. God and mammon, both. We gave it up to the high priests. It's your job, it's God's will. That's what they say. People say, it's God's will. That means God can do anything he wants, so why pray? They say, you pray for something. Okay, he didn't answer my prayers. Well, it's God's will. Well, if it's God's will, why did I even pray in the first place? He's going to do what he wants anyway. We gave it all up to superstition, primitive superstition. With invisible man in the sky looking down, keeping track of what we do, make sure we don't do the wrong thing. If we do, he puts us in hell and we burn forever. That kind of is very limiting. It's very limiting for this brain we have. So we keep ourselves limited, and then we want a toy and a gizmo and gold, and we want shiny things, and we want something to plug in that'll make big, big, big things for us. And all that is nothing. It's nothing. We gave it all up. And Americans, who also had great gifts, when you take the theory of democratic rule, self-government, okay, they started off wrong. They owned slaves. They didn't let women vote. They didn't let people who didn't own land vote. Fine. They got off on the wrong foot. But the ideas were good. But we blew that. We polluted it. We polluted it with this stuff, things, material goods, games, gizmos, toys, gadgets. Having possessions. Oh, he's got a bigger truck. He says, see his truck? It's bigger than mine. I'm getting a new truck. Here's a big truck. Oh, I'm getting that one. That's what, you got a video in it? Your DVD too? He don't have a DVD. I got a DVD, you know. Oh, please. Whatever happened? And all of that is what happened, you know? And that's why I'm divorced from it now. I see it from a distance. I give myself a divorce. I said, George, emotionally you have no stake in this. You don't care one way or another. So watch it. Have fun. You know what? I say it this way. When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat. And some of us get to sit there with notebooks. And I'm a notebook gunner, huh? Oh, oh my God, did you see that? Did you see what he just... And I watch the freak show, and I get my notes, and I make up stuff about it, and I talk about the freaks. And the freaks are all humans, and they're like me, and they're all the same. We're all the same. I'm not better. I'm not different. I'm just apart now. I'm separate. I'm over here because I put myself out of the mix. I don't have a stake in the outcome. I'm not a cheerleader for a given outcome now. Oh, they say if you scratch a cynic, you'll find a disappointed idealist. And I would admit that somewhere underneath all of this, there's a little flicker of a flame of idealism that would love to see it all whoosh, change, but it can't happen that way. And incremental change, it just seems like the pile of is too deep. It seems like there's too much to do. To do it all, to do everything you would need to clean this act up of the human, you know, too much. And there are forces that don't want that. You have big companies, big pharmaceuticals, big oil, big petrochemical, Big insurance, big real estate, big agribusiness, all these people feeding, so they don't give a shit about borders anymore. It's all international, it's multinational. There are no borders, this is obsolete. Someday, if we all lasted long enough, someday there'd be no borders, there'd be one language and one currency. That would happen, but we still, you know what Robert Anton Wilson said, every border in Europe is an arbitrary line where two groups of bandits grew tired of fighting and decided to rest for a while. That's all we are about.
In the little time we have left, let's hear some more of Carlin's last stand-up routines. Here he talks about another problem with the American people, their really bad parenting.
Now, speaking of parents and speaking of bullshit, two ideas which aren't always mutually exclusive, by the way. I'd like to mention a special kind of bullshit that has taken hold in this country in the last 30 to 40 years. It's a form of bullshit that really only can be called child worship. It's child worship. It's this excessive devotion to children. I'm talking about today's professional parents, these obsessive diaper sniffers, who are overscheduling and overmanaging their children and robbing them of their childhoods. Even the simple act of playing. Even the simple act of playing has been taken away from children and put on mommy's schedule in the form of play dates. Something that should be spontaneous and free is now being rigidly planned. When does a kid ever get to sit in the yard with a stick anymore? You know, just sit there with a stick. Do today's kids even know what a stick is? You know? You sit in the yard with a stick and you dig a hole. You know? Yeah. And you look at the hole, and you look at the stick, and you have a little fun. But kids don't have sticks anymore. I don't think there are any sticks left. I think they've all been recalled because of lead paint. Who would have thought that one day the manufacturing of sticks would be outsourced to China? But you know something, a kid shouldn't be wasting his time with a stick anyway. If he's 4 years old, he should be home studying for his kindergarten entrance exams. Do you know about that? Oh, they have them now. Yeah, yeah. There are places that have kindergarten entrance exams. The poor little The poor little he can barely locate his You know, and already he's being pressured to succeed. Pressured to succeed for the sake of the parents. Isn't this really just a sophisticated form of child abuse? And speaking of that, speaking of child abuse, speaking of child abuse, next up, grade school. Grade school, where he won't be allowed to play tag because it encourages victimization. And he won't be allowed to play dodgeball because it's exclusionary. And it promotes aggression. Standing around is still okay. Standing around is still permitted, but it won't be for long because sooner or later some kid is going to be standing around and his foot will fall asleep and his parents will sue the school and it'll be goodbye standing around. Now, fortunately, all is not lost. All is not lost because at least we know that when he does get to play whatever games he is allowed to play, the child will never lose. We know he'll never lose because in today's America, no child ever loses. There are no losers anymore. Everyone's a winner. No matter what the game or sport or competition, everybody wins. Everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy. No one is a loser. No child these days ever gets to hear those all-important character-building words, "You lost, Bobby." "You lost, you're a loser, Bobby." They miss out on that. You know what they tell a kid who lost these days? "You were the last winner."
George Carlin, not long before his death in 2008. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust, thanking you for listening to New World Notes. Catch the shows you missed at our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. It'll get to my non-carborundum. Remember that war is not healthy for children and other living things. And please come back again next week. Peace.